morning and welcome to St. Columba's on this, the day of the Transfiguration of our Lord. We welcome visitors in particular who are joining us, and all of you are very welcome indeed. We follow the all-age worship service as printed before you in the service sheet, and the service will be followed by refreshments at the back of the church. And on a morning such as this, I do hope that you can wait behind to enjoy a warm cup of coffee or tea and to spend an opportunity catching up with one another. Pause will meet on Tuesday, and all are welcome at the Park Avenue Hotel from 10:30 in the morning. And please note that on Wednesday is the deadline for the September Columban. I would ask that all organisational leaders would ensure that full details of all their recommencement dates are included in their articles to be with the editor, Billy McAlpine, by tea time on Wednesday. Many of you will know that our parish bank branch has now closed in Ballyhackamore, and the nearest First Trust Bank is now in the centre of Belfast. And we would be very, very grateful if we could make an appeal to those who use free will offering envelopes, if you would very seriously consider to switch to standing orders. This is to help us with the practical difficulties that we and many other people are now experiencing with the bank branch having moved to the centre of town. If you could help us in that way, it would be very much appreciated, and Karen Patterson, our parish administrator, will be only too pleased to assist if you contact her in the parish office. We turn now to our service sheet. This is the day that the Lord has made. Loving Lord, fill us with your presence, that we may praise you now with our lips, and all the day long with our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we think we've never done anything wrong, then we are lying to ourselves and not being honest. But if we take the things we have done wrong and bring them to God, and we are truthful with him, then once we've said sorry for those things, he forgives us. Let us say sorry to God here and now. We're sorry, dear God, when we don't have time for other people, when we say the wrong thing, when we do the wrong thing, even when we think the wrong thing, forgive us. Make us right with you and allow us to be better the next time. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I declare to you, you are forgiven, your sins are gone. Be strong in the Holy Spirit and live for God. Amen. We stand as a forgiven people.
Therefore, let us praise God for his mercy and give thanks to him for his goodness.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The Spirit of God fills the whole earth.
Come, let us worship.
Thank you.
collect for the transfiguration of our Lord. Father in heaven, whose Son Jesus Christ was wonderfully transfigured before chosen witnesses upon the holy mountain and spoke of the exodus he would accomplish at Jerusalem, give us strength so to hear his voice and bear our cross in this world, that in the world to come we may see him as he is, where he is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Jesus seeks some peace, but people are too demanding, and the divine generosity can never refuse those in need. In choosing the ancient experience of manna in the wilderness, Jesus provides food for thousands of people, more than they could ever desire or deserve. Now, about 8 days after these signs, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things that they had seen. Amen.
Lord, in silence and in the busyness of life, may we find you to be ever present. Amen. I had to go flat out this morning to get into church because the weather had changed dramatically. This is all-age worship, and the first two people I met, I didn't bump into them, I'm glad to say, but the first two people I met coming into St. Columba's, the one hand a very senior parishioner who's been here for many years, and the other one was Victoria, I think the youngest parishioner we have at the moment. And you may recall that Victoria was baptized last Sunday morning. She's here again today, lovely with parents. And last Sunday morning, I thought, was a very effective and meaningful service. I hope it was, and I know it was, for you, for Victoria's parents, and for those of you who came from many places to be here to celebrate that special occasion. I've been here now on many occasions when people have been baptized and received into the Christian family. And I have to say that our rector has a very special way of making people feel at home and welcoming them on occasions like this. And I thought last Sunday, and it's worth mentioning, and maybe this morning at the beginning of All Age Worship, that last week, was very intrusive. You made sure that everybody was part and parcel of worship. And that's, in a sense, what it's all about. Now, last Sunday morning, those of you who were present, you may remember that there was a sort of dual presentation. We had the rector and we had the director. And I thought it was wonderful, because the rector, you recall, was telling us something about Oliver, and then the director, he followed that up with a little bit of music. And I thought, what a good idea. So just wait for a few moments. First of all, you're going to wonder, what am I going to talk about this morning? And I'm going to give you a few clues, and we're going to listen to a few clues. Now, I don't want anybody to pipe up and say, I know the answer, because the only people eligible to respond to this and to get a tiny prize this morning are those who are aged under 10 years and a half. So if you've somebody near you who's under 10 and a half years of age, you are allowed to whisper to them the answer if you think you know it, and then hopefully they'll come up here to the front. So the question this morning is, what is the word which forms the subject for this morning's service? Now, two clues, first of all, before we listen to a few other musical clues. The two clues are these. Number one, Reek Sunday. Keep them all to yourself. That's a difficult one. Number two, Flemish. Again, we keep them all here. Numbers 3, 4, 5, 6. The director is going to give us those clues. Not allowed to say a word, because only those under 10 and a half years of age are allowed to do that, but you can put your hand up. How many people know the word which is at the center of this morning, having listened to six cues? My wife, you're not eligible, you heard already what I was going to talk about. One, two, about six. Now, great, at least I can see one under 10 and a half, that's hopeful. I thought I might go home with all the sweets I have here with me this morning. Anybody who's under 10 and a half, and you think you know the answer, could you come up here? Great. And as many of you like, wonderful. You don't be shy. I'm getting off very lightly this morning. Now, you are very brave coming all the way up to the top of the church. You definitely deserve something as a result of this. Now, I'm going to ask you if you can tell us what the word was this morning. And I maybe bring this in a big, big loud voice, because you know a lot of people here don't have a clue. Only about six people put their hands up. So what is the answer?
Mountain.
Great. Did you say it again, big loud voice?
Mountain.
Mountain. And you know, well done. Don't go for a minute. Are you allowed to have, what are you allowed to have here? Sweets or marshmallows? marshmallows. What will I do? This will be very tempting. I'm going to give you the whole packet. Don't eat them all at once. And if anybody else comes up to you and says, can I have one? I leave that up to you. Well done. Thank you for coming up. Mountain. That's the word. Now, just to remind you again of those clues, some of you will have got them all, some of you have got some of them. First one, Reek Sunday. I think the rector will know that one because he's from the west of Ireland. And I'm from the southwest of Ireland. Last Sunday, and there's somebody else who knows, last Sunday was Reek Sunday because every year on the last Sunday in July, people climb Kropatrick in County Mayo in big numbers. And unfortunately, some of them aren't very fit and they have to be brought down, not the, quite the way they went up. But last week was Reek Sunday, up a mountain. The second one, Flemish, that's near at home. That's a mountain in County Antrim where Patrick spent time looking after sheep. And then Dr. McKee played for us this morning. How many people didn't know there is a green hill far away? They all got that one. And then the mountains of Mourne, I think you probably all know that. The next one, quite funny, in the Hall of the Mountain King. Some of us were laughing our way through that one. And finally, climb every mountain. So there we have it this morning. Well done to those who knew some of those. And of course, a lot of people spend time going up and down mountains. I was talking to you last week, Charles. You were telling me you were up a mountain in Snowdonia, in Wales. Henry, I heard you were away up a mountain this week, and it wasn't so nice. The mountains of Mourne. Henry got rather wet, I think, but I have to hear more about that later on. And you know, I'm going to give a secret away, because we got a card from the rectory family from somewhere, maybe I shouldn't say it, from somewhere nice and warm, and they climbed a mountain, and they went up to a holy place, and if you don't know about that, I'm sure they'll tell you all about that later on. But mountains can mean a great deal to some people. They're challenges when we climb them. Sometimes we maybe feel they're too much. They can be dangerous places, but they can be lovely places. And I'm mentioning mountains this morning for a particular reason, because mountains are found in the Bible. And they're found in the Bible, I found at least 50 occasions where the word mountain, or we'll substitute that for that, the word hill, crop up in the Bible. And let me give you some examples of those. The story of the flood. Remember the ark? And it settled on the top of a mountain, Mount Ararat. Then we have the Ten Commandments. Where did Moses go to get the Ten Commandments? I don't want everybody to feel they've got to keep answering, but if you feel enthusiastic, well and good. Where did Moses go with the Ten Commandments? Up the mountain? Sinai. That's right. I've been lucky to be on the top of Mount Sinai. I went there many years ago now with somebody else, and we prayed on the top of the mountain. It was a wonderful place. That's where Moses went. And then let's see if I can think of a few others. The site of the temple in Jerusalem, Mount Zion, a little bit of a hill there. And then we move on to the New Testament. Jesus, remember, was tempted. And in one of those temptations, he was brought up to the top of a mountain and he looked out over all the world. And then we have the feeding of the 5,000. Do you remember that one? Where people went and they followed Jesus and they were hungry and he fed them. And that was on a mountain. The Sermon on the Mountain. There's another one. And then we have Jesus praying on the Mount of Olives. And I could go on and on and on. But there's a particular reason why I'm mentioning mountains this morning. And we go back to the reading, Noel, you read a little bit earlier on, where Jesus went with some of his friends up a mountain. And it's now known as the Mount of the Transfiguration, because something very strange happened there. And Jesus was sort of almost glowing. We're going to sing Shine, Jesus, Shine shortly. As a reminder of that, Jesus was almost glowing. And what that was all about, we won't worry too much about it this morning, other than the fact that Jesus was being pointed out to his close followers who didn't fully understand him, that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He was the one they should follow. And that might mean suffering and problems as well as good times. And that's why there was the vision of the cross also shining in that strange incident on the mountainside, and why we call it the Transfiguration. So this morning, we're thinking about mountains. Some people are thinking about mountains they've climbed, how difficult they were to go up, how challenging they were, how lovely they were when they got up there. But it's in places like mountains, it's in places indeed not just mountains, but our back gardens, a quiet spot in the church, a quiet spot in our rooms at home, that we can know and experience that God is present with us. It's perhaps an appropriate way of saying the prayer when we do sense God's presence there, that day by day we may come to see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly. I hope nobody's going to try and follow a mountain today, because you'll get very, very wet. But as I think about that subject this morning, I think of the words of the psalm, a well-known psalm. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes even from the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. Thanks be to God.
Trust in God the Father, who made all things.
We believe and trust in Him.
Do you believe and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, who redeemed the world?
We believe and trust in Him.
Do Do you believe and trust in His Holy Spirit who gives life to the people of God?
We believe and trust in Him.
This is the faith of the Church.
This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. We come now to our prayers. Let us pray. On this day, we reflect on the transfiguration of our Lord up on the mountain. We pray that we may have our eyes fixed on Jesus. Give to us, Lord, the ability and the desire, through all the anxieties and pleasures of daily life, to fix our eyes on Jesus, from whom our faith derives and in whom it will be brought to completion. May our gaze so rest upon His glory that earthly things cease to assume an importance greater than is really theirs. And may we have faith in such a measure that we shall be able to minister to others in His name and in His power, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. God of Moses and Elijah, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we recall that awesome moment on the Mount when Peter, James, and John heard your voice and saw the touch of glory on your Son. May we by faith behold His majesty and give Him the obedience and reverence which are His due, and to His name be dominion and power now and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen. We pray for those who have been married here in St. Columbus during this past week. We pray for Jason Gillard and Cecily Gervin, who were married on Wednesday past. And we pray for Paul Gallen and Nicole Thompson, who were married here yesterday. We ask your blessing upon them as they now begin their married lives together, that you will richly bless them, watch over them, and keep them faithful to their marriage vows. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for those who are preparing for marriage. In particular, we pray for Rachel Atchison and Rupert Wilson to be married here in St. Columbus on Saturday. Most merciful God, we pray for all those who will be preparing for marriage during these coming days. May their marriage be for them a source of great and lasting good. Spare them long to each other and keep them faithful, tender and true, so that they may live together in peace and happiness, and may your blessing be upon them in their home and in all the work of their hands. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And as we have been reflecting on families at this, our family service, we pray too for those members of our parish who are bereaved. In particular, we pray for Keith Cochran and his family following the death of his wife, Fina, whose funeral took place here yesterday morning. O Lord Jesus Christ, who wept at the grave of Lazarus, we commend to your tender care and compassion those whose loss is greatest at this time because their lives were closest and their love was strongest. In the midst of their deep sorrow, give them the comfort of your presence and the courage and faith they need to face life again in the days to come. And may your peace be with them, O Lord, both now and always. Amen. Together we pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for everyone in this parish, especially for our clergy, teachers, leaders, musicians, helpers, and all who give of their time and talents to lead our parish organizations. We ask your blessing and guidance upon our families and homes as together we seek to serve you in both word and deed during the opportunities and challenges of this new week. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us sum up our prayers and praises in the words our Savior Christ has taught us and say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our gifts and use them for your purposes of love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You will see details at the back of your service sheet this morning about the hog roast and barn dance to take place on Friday, September the 15th at the home of Tony and Clodagh Reid in Cumber. Elizabeth Leonard has tickets this morning, and if you haven't already got some and would like some, I would like some more information about this important fundraising event for our church, do please speak to Elizabeth over the coffee. Let us pray. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives as well as our worship be always pleasing in your sight for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with all for whom you have prayed for this day and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
In keeping with the theme of Canon Smith's sermon earlier, and with the musical aspect of the sermon too, there's a change of hymn for our final hymn. Hymn number 128, Hills of the North Rejoice. Serve the Lord.